It's Demolition Radio. It's Demolition Radio.
Birdman, what chicken?
Burial hip that fell in the bakery.
Flip and turn.
Now, the famous Tony Boy.
Let's see.
It's showtime.
What are you talking about?
Let's get Operation Demolition Radio underway.
Survivors.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up? Welcome to Demolish Radio. Are we on? I can't hear myself.
The survivors of a post-apocalyptic war on rock and roll.
We're on.
All right. Hey, what's up? This is Tony Hawk. I'm here on Demolish Radio. I'm here with Jess Fritch and John Dale, as usual, in the Sirius Studios in Hollywood. Well, that's not usual for us.
Are they going to be that way the whole time, Sharon?
We're here.
Kyle, stop talking.
Like,
we haven't been introduced.
Okay. We're here with Kyle Gass, Jack Black, also Jables, JB, and Rage Cage of Tenacious D.
The Brave Warriors.
The Warriors.
The Warriors.
Of a post-apocalyptic war.
The bringer backs of rock.
True. Okay,
bring backers of rock.
Not
right?
Bad. Not too shabby.
We need to work on that. I knew we should have wrote
that
something.
That did not, yeah.
That
wasn't as heroic as I was hoping. I was hoping it would be more... Do you have some, like, Spanish trumpets?
The Resurrectors of Rock.
Oh, thank that's you. Good.
That's not
good?
Bad.
Yeah.
I like your eyes close when you say these intense rock and roll words.
I need to concentrate.
Good.
On the introduction. But if we're the Resurrectors of Rock,
the RZA,
does that mean that now rock is just sort of weird zombie?
It kind of is. It kind of is. But I think that you guys are on the road to bring it back to life.
We are the reanimators.
The reanimators. I am a huge Tenacious D fan from day
thanks,
one.
Man.
Just want you guys to know.
You know we know. We know that you've always had our back.
We did. Yes, I did. And to my right here, John Dale.
Yeah.
You also carried the torch for the D?
We went and saw you guys in San Diego when you were with Weezer.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And I told him that you guys were doing the whole bit about Tony Hawk Pro Skater waking up at noon for the road. It was like an intro for the road. Told him all about it, and then we showed up in Long Beach, and he had a whole like packet on how to play the game as if you didn't know how to play the game.
No, that was I remember. We were very touched and moved.
And then you guys played the launch party
That's right.
I think it was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4.
We did play that party. It was one of the great party concerts ever.
It was. I don't think that the Neversoft guys realize exactly what they're getting into. But I was really happy about it.
Yeah.
Didn't we that's always the problem with playing parties. Is a lot of times there's one guy kind of leading the charge.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people scratching.
Well, that
heads.
Would be Joel, the head of Neversoft, and he is unapologetic. So he was the right guy for you to hire you guys, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. But I've been listening to the new album, and it's great.
Thanks, man.
Wow. Thank
yeah. You. We worked very hard. We dug deep. We knew that we had to bring a stiffer, spicier mustard than we ever had before, because the landscape of comedy rock had changed, and in many ways, rock has died. So there was a double challenge hoop to jump through in order to make our comeback.
But don't you feel like you kind of went back to the first album? Not a formula, but a little bit of that vibe.
What do you think, Cage?
I don't know. That sort of means that we left our vibe on the second record.
No, but I feel like your second record was more...
A return to form, is what you're saying.
A return to form. I feel like your second record was more of a soundtrack to the movie.
It was.
Right?
You're right.
So you were a little bit limited in terms of what you could do with the songs and things. It had to follow the...
We had to crank it out.
Chronology of the movie.
Well, it's not like we have a really huge discography. I don't think I've ever used that word before. I'm glad I just did.
Three's bigger than a lot of bands, though.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
You think about how iconic Guns N' Roses, but really, they're kind of a one-album band, really.
Yes.
Actually,
Use Your Illusion was a great
Jesse
record.
Will disagree with that. We have had many discussions about this on our show.
And then if you bring that into the conversation, you're really talking about a one-album and a double-album band.
Right.
So that's kind of like three albums.
That's true.
You didn't like the Spaghetti Conspiracy?
Spaghetti Incident? Was that their cover album? Which we should do, by the way.
A cover album?
Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I don't know. What's the best cover album ever?
The Spaghetti Incident? We just went over
that.
Wow. Exactly. That's not the best cover album ever.
I'm going to say not the best plan.
What if you guys covered Tenacious D songs?
That would be something.
I don't know if that's possible. That could, black hole could be created. Is this also being shot for Sirius Television Network?
We're just shooting it, but we have a channel on YouTube called Ride Channel.
Whoa.
Which is my interviews for the
most
part.
Man, did I tee it up for your plug?
Yeah, thank you.
Dang.
But I wonder if you're looking for more approval, or you're actually genuinely asking. Because are you going to shut down the interview right now? Is that what you're saying? That's what I want to know.
Let's go with genuinely asking.
Okay.
Genuinely asking.
All right. Jack looks concerned.
I was just thinking about how involved you have been in music. A lot of people just think of you as an extreme athlete, but the truth is you've always spotlighted great new rock bands in your games.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm really proud of our soundtrack. And to be honest, I mean, the first couple soundtracks, those are where we're trying to bring back the origins of punk for a new audience.
Right.
And then from there, you know, obviously highlight new bands as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot to live up to every time.
The only thing is, though, if you do get stuck on one really hard level and hear that same song over 100,000 times, in a way, right, you ruin that band, because no one will ever buy the song after hearing it that many times in the game.
Do you have any favorites from those games?
No. Not off the top of my head. I do remember enjoying, though, intensely. But I never, like, went through the liner notes to look for, like, who was that masked band?
Yeah, there are definitely a few that people remember very vividly from those games.
Yeah.
That we have to bring back. We're actually releasing the first two on new systems.
Oh, nice.
Next month. And so we had to bring back some of the songs. I mean, it was like people demanded it. They were very angry about the possibility that it might not be in their favorite tracks.
Yeah.
So there's a few in there for them.
I remember there was talk for like a half a second that the D would be a secret band.
Yeah,
you would unlockable. Yeah. Unlockable band.
Yeah. And then we'd get, what, like low-hanging fruit or something?
I don't know what happened. That never came to fruition.
No.
Maybe our lawyers and layers were playing hardball.
Our layers?
I think that was it. I was privy to those discussions.
We've got many layers of lawyers
that prevent us from
participating in Tony Hawk video games.
I totally understand. That's okay.
I know. You got to have them. You got to have them.
Yes.
As evil as their reputation
is. That was the stumbling block, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow.
And I understand it. It's okay. I've had the same stumbling block on projects myself, so.
Yeah. I'm gonna blame it on Bickerson's and whatever our lawyer's name is. But, you know, our lawyer, actually, Warren Dern. I don't know if you ever met Warren Dern.
No.
He's a tremendous skater. Skater lawyer.
Really?
You maybe should hook up with him. Because I think you guys speak at the same language.
Perhaps.
Yeah, he's got a ramp in his backyard.
Wow.
But you do have to sign a lot of paperwork before you're allowed to go into his backyard.
I will sign it.
That is so smart. Right.
I'm totally cashing in if I go there. Oh, that hurt my ankle. I can't skate tomorrow.
That's 12.5 million in lost revenue right there.
Completely. That was the only day we could shoot that movie is tomorrow, and I'm hurt.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
No, I've been sued. It sucks.
For an injury like that?
Yeah, like this guy broke his elbow on my ramp. He didn't even have permission to skate it. He just came and skated with a friend. And I was out of town, and then he broke his elbow, and next thing I know, there's this guy serving me papers at my house.
Yeah.
Isn't there even a thing like you can be trespassing and hurt yourself, and then you can sue?
Yeah, supposedly. That's like
California.
Big,
wouldn't be surprised.
It's intense.
Yeah, you can sue for anything.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
For a skater pimp.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you were beginning to tell me a story of you possibly skating Upland Pipeline?
Yeah, I was skating Upland Pipeline.
In the 80s?
In my youth, in the 80s, yeah. And a legendary day came that the whispers went around the park like wildfire that Tony Hawk is coming. Dude, get out of the pool.
And everyone out of the pool.
Everyone got out of the pools.
I would actually call ahead of time and say, get everyone out of the pools.
And it was like an episode from Warrior, if it was a TV show, and everyone was standing by the side of the pool as Tony Hawk. And you must have been like 13 years old. You're just a kid. And everyone was just slack-jawed, watching in awe as the man-god known as Tony Hawk. And it was really a thing to remember. You were quite a... What do you call that when someone has like a golden aura about them?
I don't... I honestly, like... I couldn't have been. I mean, probably was maybe like 15 or 16 at the time.
Look, it probably wasn't as awesome as I just said, but that's how it is. It's crystallized in my mind.
Right. Okay.
Is it was like, you know, it was like seeing Jim Morrison step into the Whiskey a Go-Go.
It's just weird because, I mean, I was, you know, I was 15 or 16 at the time.
Yeah.
Super awkward teenager kid, like doing a sport that still wasn't really considered that cool.
Yeah.
You know, I was definitely doing well at it, but at the same time, I go to high school and I was a stranger.
Yeah.
And so for you to have a memory like that about my arrival at a skate park is pretty strange.
Isn't that weird? That,
yeah.
See, because it was just cresting. The sport itself was just in its infant stages. And so there was a huge buzz. But it was like an insider buzz. You had to be in the know to know how cool the things were that were happening. And the names were like gods, but they weren't well-known gods.
Yeah, it was very niche.
Yeah. Do you keep in touch with all of the skater gods of yore?
It's funny you say that because there's been a lot of hype over nostalgia stuff these days.
Of course.
And Stacy Peralta just finished Bones Brigade documentary.
Right.
Which is now going to all the film festivals.
Yeah.
Of, you know, my team, which was Steve Caballero, Lance Mountain, Mike McGill, Rodney Mullen, Tommy Guerrero. And so that's got a lot of hype around it. 2 weeks ago, they had this big pool event called the Vans Pro-Tech Pool Party.
Hmm.
And there's a replica pool in Orange of the Upland Skate Park pool.
Yeah.
And the Masters
they cleared
event.
It when Tony got there.
Yeah, no.
They were like,
no, they all jump in.
All
they actually all go in my way.
Hmm.
Now, and so the Masters event was the who's who of that generation. Masters event, I mean, literally, like, Steve Caballero got first, I got second, Lance Mountain got third, Mike McGill got fourth, Christian Soy, Lester Kasai, like...
Yeah.
It's weird, and there came a point last weekend when there was another thing going on, with all the vintage pros, and I was like, when do we start living in the present again?
Yeah.
Like, is that it? Is that all we got? We're just in the 80s now.
No, but in fairness, there does need to be a documentary that covers the whole spectrum, because Lords of Dogtown...
Kind of stopped.
Dogtown and Z-Boys. Which one was the documentary? Because there's one that's a movie.
The second one.
Okay. Dogtown, Z-Boys.
Dogtown and Z-Boys was a masterful documentary, but it was just about that small group. And it would have been. There needs to be a movie that covers the whole thing.
Well, that's but I mean that's what this Bones Brigade documentary is covers our team and through the 80s.
When does this come out?
I don't know. I mean, it's doing whatever.
Is it going to do the Sundance?
Yeah. It did.
It danced on the sun.
It did the Sundance.
And did it receive accolades? Shower?
I don't know.
Above?
I don't know if it got those little leaf things you put around it. What is
oh, man.
The Palme d'Or?
No, you know the leaves, dude.
Like on the cover of any movie, there's all those little leaf things.
Yes.
Not any movie. Only the special movies.
Kind of a lot of movies at this point.
Okay, well, The Pick of Destiny received zero laurel wreaths. Laurel wreaths.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I did. I did take my. He's 19 now, but I took my son to opening weekend.
Oh no, really?
Pick of Destiny, yeah, because he's huge. It's really fun. I have three boys, and they're all different ages, obviously, and it's fun for me to have them grow up and know, like, okay, my 13-year-old now is at an age that I can play him. The first Tenacious D album, everything included, because I used to just play certain tracks for him.
Yeah.
Now I can kind of run the whole thing, and the stuff in between, and then, you know what I mean? And that happened with my oldest son, Riley, at some point when he turned about 14. That's kind of when it came out, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a little before that, yeah. But it's been fun to, like, raise them up and go, okay, this is, you're ready for this humor.
Yeah.
And this kind of rock, and it's been super fun to watch. So I took Riley to Pick a Destiny. And he liked it a lot.
Was he disturbed in any way? Did you have to just explain anything?
I think there was one scene I was uncomfortable with. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah.
I don't... It was kind of a blur to me, but he enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to when my boys are old enough to watch movies that are good.
Because
they're still too young. They only like crap.
That's kind of where we are now. Yeah, but that's kind of where we are with our kids. I mean, my girlfriend has a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old. Mine are 10 to 13. And now we're like, hey, you guys, Office Space.
Yeah.
Right? And Time Bandits.
Yeah.
And, like, super cool movies that are maybe a little scary or a little different and dark, and they love it.
That's what I want. How old are they now?
Those kids are 10, 9, yeah, exactly. 12, and 13.
Yeah.
My 19-year-old is just like a dude I know now. Yes, really is. Including them, too. Like, he's just this kind of lanky guy that comes in. What's
he's
up?
He's like the cool skater. Like, the dude that doesn't talk much and just shreds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And he's going to love this. When I told him that you guys had a new album, he's like, what? The new movie? What are you talking about? No, like an album. He's like, really? Like all new tracks? He was super excited.
Okay, see, that means that we've failed in our marketing. At that, yeah. Everyone should know. There should be no one going,
no, he's
what?
Not on. He's not on the pop culture radar.
Oh, really?
At
thing,
all.
He might no. listen to this show, so yeah. he's succeeding.
Okay,
he
good.
He was the last one, right?
We did it.
No, this is not cool enough for him. Oh, wait, did I say that?
He's in that phase where, like, you know, like every Zeppelin t-shirt, you know, every classic rock t-shirt is him and his buddies.
Yeah.
You know,
well, he turned 18 and, like, 3 days later sent me a picture of a Black Sabbath tattoo on a forearm. He's like, hey, Dad, I just want you to know I got this.
Now he's got a couple, like, right? Like, he's got Hendrix.
Oh, now it's
Portrait.
Yeah, no, now he's got Bowie right here.
Yeah.
It was Ziggy Stardust right here. He's got Sabbath. He's got...
What would you guys have at 19?
And those are permanent?
I still don't have any chance.
Yeah.
But if I did, Sabbath
if
would be
a
safe way to go. I was thinking... Oh, at 19? Yeah, that's weird. It would be the same.
That's pretty good.
I would
really
love Sabbath
then, yeah.
as well. But if I was thinking, if I did go tat, I was thinking the perfect tat, just a little Satan. A little devil.
Just a little one?
I finally decided,
where would
yeah.
you put it? Where's
the perfect place?
On your forehead.
You know, butt cheek or...
Tanak?
I was thinking maybe a little devil tramp stamp.
Oh,
is that
God.
Right?
A little devil? That would be nice. A little cute one?
With, with a finger that, pointing down.
That dude's going to appreciate
to
that.
To hell hole.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Is that wrong? Is that a bad idea?
It might be.
On Tony's birthday, they had me convinced, like, wasted drunk in Vegas. Remember, I was going to get a tramp stamp that said, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, because... And also...
Ellis got awesome.
But, yeah, Ellis used to be on this show. That's how he started.
Yeah.
Ellis is one the show that you guys did last week.
Yeah.
Here.
All right.
And we were all way too drunk in Vegas right after we did this show. And he had this idea, Ellis used to be a pro skater, and he thought this idea that if he had awesome right here, like on his belt line, when he did a certain trick, it would show perfectly for photos. So it'd be like, he's doing these perfect frontside grinds and just awesome. And yours was what?
Mine was hell yeah, above my ass.
Hell yeah. So,
like, I thought it was funny, but then by the time, like, Tony got something, Ellis got something, and our friend Kevin, I had sobered up, and I was like, no, I don't want hell yeah by my ass. Like, what if something weird happens? I run a stop sign and they throw me in jail. And, you know, something. Dude's like, hell yeah. I'm going to take that one.
Hell yeah.
That was my first, though. That he still really has awesome. Well, he's got everything now, so.
I was thinking that it might be cool to get tattoos only on the most painful parts of the body.
Mm. Just to show that you've
just
endured it.
Just to show
it.
That, exactly. Because yeah. if you're a badass, because... The butt cheek is probably the least painful place because there's not a lot of nerve endings in the cheek. Is that true?
I think there's.
That's plenty. Fact.
That's why they give you the shot in your butt. But
they give you a shot.
That well, yeah. Don't you ever get
it's like
the
in movies? Not a shot in your butt.
No, I'm just
I'll
saying.
I'll tell you what. This
butt
one.
Shot,
I got this on my
it's
ankle right here.
It's a popular place for the shot.
See this right here?
Yeah, that's pain right there.
That one hurt a lot.
Right on the ankle bone.
Yeah. After about 15 minutes in, I was like. I don't know what happened, but we were in the middle of a story, and then that went on.
Oh, my God.
We got issues. We're in L.A. They're in New York. I don't know what's happening.
That was disturbing.
Yeah, I really want to play something from the new album.
Yeah. Have you got
What would your go-to track be on the new album?
I like the low-hanging.
Yeah, we'd probably go low-hanging fruit right now. Although, I'm very fond of Senorita.
Ah, yeah. That's a good one. I just started getting into that one.
Yeah. It's got a powerful finish.
It is a bit of a love song.
It's a painful love song, though. It's a dude that falls in love with a senorita, but then he finds that she's still in love with her old horrible man.
Yes.
And it drives him insane. What, you don't think that's what it's about?
No, I was just confirming.
Yeah, Larry. That's right.
Yeah.
Larry. That's right. His name is Larry.
Also, Be the Best?
To Be the Best.
To Be the Best. I was listening to that today, and I realized that that sounds like the band that Dirk Diggler was trying to create.
Exactly.
In Boogie Nights. Right?
It's exactly.
Like,
well,
it is.
Because, you know, you're a winner.
You're a winner. That's it. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, that is the polished version of their studio song. Yeah.
And, you know, you've got the touch.
Yeah, you've got
There's
touch.
Some references
you got the
in
power.
There.
Please skate to that in the next
That's it. No, it really is. It sounds like, and it's short. It's exactly like what they did in that studio.
Yeah. That is what were thinking about. We were channeling that for sure.
That's awesome.
I don't know if we're busted or if that a loving.
No, it wasn't close enough.
No, it needed to be done because you couldn't. You know, you really wanted to hear what they would have sounded like had they done that.
Exactly.
Had they done the polished studio version?
Yeah.
Although it's hard to beat Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly in that scene. It's one of the funniest scenes ever put on film.
Oh, yes.
Hey, did you see that new? Did you see the new trailer for the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, what is it?
The Master. And it's supposed to be like the Scientology movie that's going to bust it wide open. But that trailer didn't look like it had anything
to
do
with
it.
Yeah.
It was just a creepy dude who was talking to the police.
Yeah,
it was
Joaquin Phoenix, who already comes off as creepy, being 10 times as creepy as Joaquin Phoenix. It was awesome.
Really? 10 times creepier? Is that?
I'm not backing down from that.
But it's like the actual definition of a teaser, because it just teases you. And he does, and I'm not going to tell you what this movie's about. I'm just going to tease you.
You can't get on Scientology. They will F you up.
No, that's what it's supposed to be. They're going straight for Scientology. You can get on Scientology. What will it do? They'll fuck you up with lawyers?
I think so. Or
I think they do smear campaigns. I think they really do. Like, they do full smear campaigns.
Yeah. But they didn't hurt. Yeah, but they didn't hurt. Exactly. They didn't hurt South Park.
You can't hurt South Park.
No, they only made some stronger.
So you can be more powerful. Yeah,
well, they lost Chef, though, right? They lost Chef because of it.
They did lose Chef, but now look at them. Now they're like the owners of Broadway.
They were like, you know what?
Yep.
We survived Scientology. Let's hit the Mormons.
Yeah. Did you see Book of Mormon? The best.
I might see it in a couple weeks.
The best.
I laughed until I cried.
Yeah.
I like it because
from the get go.
Your friends who you feel are the most like dirty, they see it and they're like, dude, I was uncomfortable at times.
Yeah.
You know? That means they've done something right.
I never put them in the category, but they should be. They're like one of the kings of comedy music. Those guys write the funniest songs.
Yes.
Are they writing them?
Team America World Police? Yeah, they write those songs,
like
man. No, Matt and Trey.
Did
Matt
you guys see that the documentary 6 Days to Air?
No.
Oh,
is that there? It's that the South Park?
Really funny.
It's crazy.
A documentary about an episode of South Park, and they go into them being nominated for an Academy Award. Did you see that? You know, that they were nominated for Blame Canada?
Yeah.
And it shows them going to the Academy Awards in dresses on acid. And they talk about how they were on acid. Yeah. And how they just try to stay in the, you know, just, it's just a magical night. It's so amazing. You know, just bullshit answers to everything.
Amazing that it's even legal to talk about how you were on acid.
Yeah. And there's at the Academy Awards.
There's proof of it and a confession. How come there's no jail time?
Yeah, we're amazing.
We gotta do some acid at the Oscars. Yeah. Well, first we gotta get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And then we'll pull some crazy shenanigans like that.
Can't believe Brett winning an Oscar.
Oh, now he's on to the other people we're jealous of.
Man.
You're talking about
the Flight of the Conchords.
You're talking about Brett McKenzie.
Yeah, they've been a thorn
but
in our side.
But he won. He didn't just get nominated. He won. And he was not on acid.
No.
Those jokes were pretty stale, he was telling up there.
What was it about? I thought he was pretty cool.
You thought he was killing it up there?
I don't know if he was killing it, but I like the tune of, like, not really that big a deal.
Right.
He wasn't taking it all.
No, actually. Those guys are badasses. You know, our fantasy is to have a comedy rock festival here in L.A. that would be, you know, all the heavy hitters. You'd have the D, you'd have the Concords, you'd have Lonely Island. Yeah. We would, of course, approach Matt and Trey and say, would you guys want to partake in this festival?
I think if you
lights.
Went at him like that.
And
you know, with the finger, with the little finger wagging at him like that. Yeah.
We already got a solid no from Spinal Tap, unfortunately.
Oh. Wow, that's rough.
It was rough, but the other guys are still in play.
Is Weird Al considered a
of course
comic?
Weird Al would be there.
He'd be there?
He'd be invited.
When we saw Flight of the Conchords, Weird Al was there.
Weird Al was up in the balcony. Full view of the entire audience.
Oh, no.
He was like those the heckler dudes in Sesame Street. You know, I was like, oh, there's Weird Al.
That's great.
Yep.
Was he like specially well lit and stuff?
It seemed like there was a spotlight on him, kind of.
That guy, Aziz Ansari, told a joke about Weird Al, and everyone cracks up, and he's like, wasn't that funny?
He's like, what? Is Weird Al here or something?
And then, I don't know if it was staged.
Boom.
That's pretty good.
Wait a second. Now I'm feeling really bad for Weird Al. Remember one time we did a concert and Weird Al was in the audience?
Yeah.
And Bob Odenkirk was telling a Weird Al joke on stage before we went on. And I felt bad about Weird Al then. Wherever poor Weird Al goes,
he's going to
make
himself.
Jokes about him he's while he's in the audience.
He's sitting in the lobby right now. Yeah. We just have this whole...
Yes.
Let me tell you, Weird Al and the D are very tight. We did a performance with him recently where he busted out a accordion solo that was to the heavens. It was an accordion solo,
wow.
If you remember.
And Crazy Perfectionist. Like, we had to do like
six takes. He seems like that.
He was not happy until he got it just right.
But who else would be in our rock? Oh, Zach Galifianakis would be an amazing fit because he's a hilarious piano.
Okay, now you're getting into
piano. Now you gotta go Dimitri Martin.
But also you're going like Coachella level of number of acts.
That's what we're saying. We're saying three nights.
Three nights. All right.
We're thinking multiple tents. We're thinking.
Oh my god!
Like, it's not all rock.
Is there a dubstep comedy hour too?
See, Kyle is deep into the dubstep, although he can't name one band.
I don't know.
But
LMFAO. There you go.
You're just saying dubstep. They're just.
I don't
it's
care.
Just a dubstep.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
And it's just funny because it's dubstep.
Just techno. Yeah, whatever.
It's just the guy on the stand-up mic going wah 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 wah.
I picture when I think of the word dubstep, I think of someone like dancing and stumbling over his steps.
Yeah.
Like he keeps dubbing over his steps. I don't know.
I was wondering, like, oh man, I got a great idea for a song.
I don't know. What's the difference between dubstep and techno? Why is dubstep different than...
It is. There is something specific about it.
Right.
But
it's like you aim two subs at each other and they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's how I imagine it.
Okay.
And that's
it's like you roll down the back window of a car.
But you can't just go, you know, dubstep. Because that's already... We've already
that's techno. That's techno.
That's rave.
That's techno. That's rave. Yeah.
That's techno.
Dubstep, it's more of a...
Oh yeah, Prodigy.
You need a new
Prodigy.
Thing.
Wow, that's good.
Is there still the bass and drums? I remember that was a kind of a big thing.
I think it was drums and bass. Kyle, please. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Okay, I do want to ask you guys one thing about
bass and drums.
About the new album, 39.
What the order there is.
It makes a huge difference. Do you guys have any Roland Rock music to play? What difference does it make? It has the same ingredients.
Who's that guy?
It's you.
Oh my god, I'm all of a sudden from Austria.
I like the bass and drums.
Oh my god.
This is what I have to live with.
Wow.
That was rough.
When do you guys hit the road?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we hit the road tomorrow, Santa Barbara.
Listen,
Your last show is in San Diego.
That's true. How did you know?
I live in San Diego and I looked at your tour dates.
Yeah, we're going to rock San Diego in the end.
Stick to the facts there.
Now, I should warn you, on this tour, there will be a giant phoenix on the stage.
Okay.
And by phoenix, you really mean...
No,
phallus.
I mean phoenix.
Oh.
A huge circumcised phoenix.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Ready to explode.
Yeah, I wasn't bringing my kids, don't worry.
And it may or may not explode.
Okay.
It's one of those things like some nights the beast will release the grease, and other nights the beast will just be there enjoying the show. But the beast will always be there.
So what's
like real life?
What tracks are you going to play from the new album, do you think?
We're going to play.
Wow.
We're going to play like.
Is this a. Are we spoiling it at all?
No, we're not. We're not spoiling.
Oh, okay,
We'll play six power tracks, and
109 is going to be on there.
Oh, dude.
Is the saxophone
going to
come back?
No, that's the second person that's
a lot of people
39.
Have said.
Is that some sort of ode to Jimmy Buffett?
It does have some Jimmy Buffett in it.
Yeah. We almost put on the steel drums.
Wait, he's the one with the, I blew out a flip-flop.
Yeah, that's it, right. Out of flip-flop.
That's the pyramid.
My favorite is the song. Yeah, socks and my flip-flops. My toes pinched. What is it?
And my toes tight.
I can't believe you're not doing
that's it.
Yeah. Why didn't you do it today?
It's summer.
Oh, you don't go socks in the summer?
No.
All right, well, if we're going to play a song from there, which one would it be? Do you guys have the new
Bust Out 39?
Yeah, I got everything.
Okay, good.
Wow. Is that why you're playing the?
No, you guys use it though. I have many favorite tracks though. So.
I'd like to hear Senorita personally.
All right.
Okay.
Check it.
All right. We'll play that.
Maybe we should play 39 live though.
Oh.
Is it too late to learn that?
What are you talking about?
We should play 39.
Oh yeah, maybe we should
in a concert.
All right. Yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll save that for San Diego.
Okay.
All right.
Special.
Because we're ready to play that one.
The thing is, when we were picking out all the songs for this tour, we wanted to keep it spicy rocking, and 39 is funny, but it's sort of a slower jam. It's like a slow dance jam.
Yeah,
and we just didn't see that as being electrifying enough.
I wasn't. I was more curious if it was more like a Jimmy Buffett thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I wasn't worried about if you're going to play it on live on tour.
Okay. No, dude. If you ever come,
we're
going to put the hot spotlight on Tony and just say, this one's for Tony.
Oh, okay. That'll be like my, what's his name, Genesis moment?
Okay.
It'll be your Weird Al Yankovic moment.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to have you up in the balcony.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, we're going to play... what are we going to play? Senorita.
Now, wait a second. Now I think we should play 39.
Because we've talked about it so much?
Yeah, we got to play 39.
I'm curious
dates.
About it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is 39, Tenacious D, Demolition Radio on Faction.
Over tonight.
naked cause I don't feel scared. She's 39, I'm in my underwear. Here she comes, come down the highway. She's knocking on my door. I open the door. There she is. Not too bad, good enough. 39-year-old lady, young enough for me. Boobies drooping, but she's good enough for me. Trimmed her pussy hair, good enough for me. Mature woman, she my lady. They can say fucking movie and a gray. It's a total piece of shit. Comfortable shoes never lose. We can fucking talk about some things. She don't need no diamond ring. She don't need no diamond ring.
To Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
All right, the song you won't hear with the Tenacious D concert, 39, but you got to hear it here. So
it's too
good.
Hard.
It's no, it's words. Possible. It's possible.
Really?
I think that would go good. I think it's possible at a D concert. Yeah. With an introduction, like you said, Tony's at Upland. You know, something like he's here.
Yeah.
You quiet it down, and that comes on.
Exactly.
Dedication.
Oh, oh my God.
That would be nice. A spotlight.
Wow. All right.
What do you think, Cage? That would be a good one if it was just you and me just going.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it really intimate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Special.
Well, I'm excited to see you guys at your last show.
Guys, it has been real. Oh, it has been real good.
Thank you for coming on.
So much pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us. Meant a lot. Your friendship.
Congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
Have fun on the road. The road is fucking hard. You know?
She's a real bitch, the road.
Cruel mistress.
And I hope you have the right roadie.
Yeah. What's that?
I hope you have the right roadie.
Dude, we searched long and hard.
Yeah.
We finally
checked. What is the line? He checks the mic. Checks the mic. 1, 2, 1, 2.
When he checked the mic, if I could check the mic, it got a checker, checker, 1, 2, 3.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, congratulations, guys. Thanks for coming in. And, I hope I see you in San Diego. Please come to my restaurant.
Dude, we are there.
Yeah, we're
that
there.
Is a date.
All right.
We'll see you at the chow. What's it called?
Market. Market Del Mar.
Dude, we will see you at Market
Del Mar. All right. Thanks, guys.
What's all right. Up? Late.
All right. That was Tenacious D. Can we play something real quick? Let's play Low-Hanging Fruit.
You got it.
Okay. Here's my other favorite track from the album. Low-Hanging Fruit, Tenacious D, Demolish Radio.
Well, me and Cage are hungry. We're hungry for some fruit. We'll wander through the garden. It would be a hoot to eat some low-hanging fruit. We're on a freaky pursuit. Don't want no high-class model in designer fucking bathing suit. We want the low-hanging fruit.
for a plump one with a tasty crack. We want some low hanging fruit to wear the deep, deep pursuit. She got the shifting mood. We need the low. Wow.
Can we go long? Is that all right? Yeah?
Yeah, I've already asked.
It's all good. Okay. Sorry, I didn't know that was going to keep going.
Wow.
They were just going to go.
Hey, too. Tony, you're on.
Are we?
Yeah.
Hey, hey.
Okay.
Are we here?
We're back.
We're back. Hey, what's up, everyone? we're all out there taking pictures.